Hey Fadies, I'm DM Brad, and this is the Fate of Ison, Chapter 5, Episode 9. Thanks for downloading and listening. Thanks for joining us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitch, Discord, Podchaser, and all the places. There's so many places! And lastly, thanks for being a cool cat. We've had a whole lot of our lovely listeners come and join us on the Necropodicon Network Discord server lately, and it is so awesome getting a chance to chat with you. There's loads of different channels there, different things to talk about, and fun games to play with the new pretend currency, Necropodicoins. The network has even started a great new weekly giveaway where you can win awesome games for PC or Mac. So far, there's been Hollow Knight, Undertale, Tropico 4, and LEGO Batman 3 Beyond Arkham. Those are some pretty sweet games. And if you want to win those or some others, head on over to necropodicon.com and click on the Join the Discord link. It's easy! Alrighty, enough of me. Here's the recap. Last time, the Apple Squadeth tied up loose ends in Stonemore before using the Sanguine Gatekeeper to open a portal with Marley's blood. They emerged on the outskirts of her abandoned family farm in the Freelands, then got on their way toward the western coast. They camped for the night in a copse of trees, where Banfor killed a large spider, drank its venom and ate its flesh, and Arcus used its web for a hammock. Cool. And out of game, Jules, you want Marley to open up a chain of craft heavens all around the world.
Sort of.
Have you given any thoughts to, like, how you might want to do that and, like, get business partners and get, like, trusted people to spread the word? Do you plan to, like, travel to various places or do it
sight unseen? No, she wants to do it herself and, like, meet people that she thinks are doing, like, a fairly good job but, like, need a cash injection and, like, actually just support their work but name it Craft Heavens, you know?
Yeah.
And then when she gets Craft Cider back up and running, they'll be where she sends it.
Okay.
That's kind of what she's thinking.
Cool.
So it's less about her, like, wanting to do stuff in the background and more like as she meets people in taverns, she might have conversations with them.
Yeah.
And not all of that needs to be on podcast as such. Like, every single negotiation doesn't need to be on there.
No, I'm more thinking so, like, content-wise, if that's just going to be this sort of side story that we don't even need to hear about, or if it's actually something you're going to want to pursue actively.
No, it's more of a Marley's retirement plan kind of thing.
Right,
like,
okay.
If she survives, she'll get to the end, like, level 20, she'll be, like, have all these pubs all over the place, and she'll be able to, like, you know, that's her retirement plan.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool. It's less about something that she wants to do, like, actively chase. She's about making sure that Gilliff is sorted, like, that kind of stuff. She's more worried about, like, making sure evil isn't going to hurt her family.
Yep.
She wants to make sure the world is safe before she meets her family again. That's her driving motivation.
Cool. That makes sense. Cool. So, who wants to do a thing?
Oliver does.
And that's
I'm not sure that. I'm not. Yeah, there we go. There's a yeah. Jules.
We're all here.
We started at the bottom, now we're here.
Started at the bottom, now the whole team's here.
Okay, so where we last left off, you had just made a camp in the Freelands, which is the western chunk of the main continent, and you are a few hours away from the coast, which will then lead you to over the sea, the Wild, which is a smaller continent to the west, where you have been tasked with going to a place called Timatanga to find the reborn Empress and kill her again while she's still weak.
God damn it. Why don't people just stay dead?
Most do.
I hardly ever do. Hodge doesn't. Yeah, no, you're right. I'm thankful for people not staying dead. And she's like patting Hodge.
Yeah, so you have an uneventful, unmolested evening, and you wake up in your camp in the trees. I would say, yeah, Oliver or Banfor is still passed out, face down on the forest floor. Hodge left Oliver, left Ben, I keep saying Oliver, left Ben for, to, yeah, snuggle around Marley for the evening, and Arcus slept in a makeshift hammock with two C's of thick with two C's spiderwebs. And the sun,
yeah, boy.
The sun shines through the trees, and it's a beautiful, beautiful day.
It's, but not like in a Bono way.
No, more in like a,
it's a beautiful day.
I was thinking, but not in right.
A Bono
it's
way.
It's a beautiful day. Uh-huh.
Today was a good day. Yeah, cool.
Molly's up. She's like that chirpy person in the morning. You know, she always has been. So she's like, morning to everybody as they like make noises from them wherever they are.
Banfor wakes up like the dead. Just a huge gasp. Still holding the same cup. And just sits bolt upright. And starts reassessing his surroundings.
Arcus isn't really a morning person, so he's kind of in a haze.
Bit cloudy.
Yeah, packs up her tent and her bedroll and stuff. She's just packing and like pleased to be heading out of here.
Bevor has a light breakfast of dried nuts and meats, a quick pull from a couple of different flasks, gets himself balanced out, and gets ready to hit the trail. Yeah, Arcus, are you coming with us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
I've decided here is where we part ways.
Marley sort of taps Hodge on the butt and sort of gives him an East Coast wave as if to say, off you go for a fly. You know you want to. As she sort of walks, so Hodge can like fly above them and kind of keep an eye out as we're walking. Yeah.
He understands common, so I mean you could give him full, you know, directions and full instructions. Or you could just nod obtusely at him.
he knows. That's why I said, off you go. You know you want to.
Yeah.
He knows. He understands.
He does this thing when he takes off, is he takes like two or three steps back, and then he like takes two very quick gallops forward and then lunges up in the hopes that his wings will like take him, because flying's still pretty new to him. He's only reborn for a few days at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he leaves the trees and disappears from view briefly, and then you start eventually see him sort of circling around above you, like 50 or 60 feet up in the air.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Because I can message 120 foot anyway, so I can always message Hodge to be like, I'm just chatting to him constantly while he's up there anyway.
Like, you can't get away.
Yeah, his his responses are just like animalistic growls because he can't speak common.
No, I know, but like I'm just going like, while you're up there, keep an eye out, would you? Just in case there's anything we need to worry about, you know. I'm just sort of saying that while he's flying around.
And he responds like Scooby Doo. He's like, "Roll free." <Rolfrey." laughs> I mean, do you just leave this forest and continue west towards the coast?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm planning on doing. But yeah.
Yep. Instead of be along west.
Right. Follow along.
Okay. A fair few hours pass and you get noticeably closer to the coastline, and you can start to smell sort of sea air, the fresh crispness and the salt in the air, which might be a brand new smell to some of you, or all of you, or none of you.
That was me slurping up the air.
clean.
salty. This tastes like gossip.
And then you notice that Hodge disappears to the south for a bit. He goes beyond your messaging range, Marley. And you don't see him for about 10-15 minutes, and then he sort of soars back and then lands in your midst.
I give him a ruffle, and I'm like, is there something I need to know?
He nods.
Okay, and then so I cast Speak with Animals so he can tell me.
He says, in wolf speak, so the other two don't understand, there's like a settlement or something like to the south that way. Like, I mean, I flew there in like 10 minutes. You could get there in like an hour or so. Just like some tents and stuff. They might have boats because I know that you can't float or whatever. And I don't know if your friends, any nods to the other two, want to fly on me, because I don't know how you plan to get across that water, bro.
Yeah, that's also a good point, Hodge. I was just going to get to the water and then kind of suss out if I could see something down there, like a town down there. But sure, that could work also. And I'm going, and then I turn around and I'm like, so Hodge says there's a settlement, like, sort of an hour to the south.
Iconic.
Iconic. Iconic Junior.
Do we want to go there and see if they've got some kind of way of getting across this water?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm not going on that big beast, am I?
Well, I just don't, and she's sort of giving Hodge a bit of a pat, like, he can still probably understand her at this point anyway, but, like, I just don't think we want to put that on him if it's several days travel and we have to land in the water. That's not ideal, so.
No, he'll die.
And yeah, exactly. You
know, no one wants to see me make a boat out of him, so.
He will die.
He will die. I will get bored and have to kill something, so, all right. So Bamfor heads off in the pointed direction.
And I thank Hodge and give him a big scratch behind the ears and pull out some dried meat and give it to him. Because it's all I've got on me. I haven't got anything fresh at the moment.
Yep. Okay, yeah. So you turn south, leap, and so you end up with the coastline on your right. And just sort of follow the coast down a little bit until you see, about an hour and a half later, a settlement of a few permanent style tents like you might find in like a desert camp or something. So large tents that are obviously meant to stay here for a long time.
Do they look like they're like Arkvale related or in any kind of way? No. Like, I know Arkvale isn't really a thing, but it's still around, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, they don't look militaristic at all. It looks sort of like sort of tribal, sort of like maybe this is locals.
Okay.
Arcus finds someone to hug.
Okay, Arcus leads the charge forward. And as you get closer to this tent city, you see lots of orcs sort of just going back and forward about their business, walking to like a small river and getting buckets and things like that, and propping up tents and building fires and some carting wood. And looks like they're just going about whatever their life is.
Marley sort of breathes a sigh of relief for a second. She was getting a bit nervous about like these tents containing someone she knew.
Bamfor sort of casually strolls into the general middle of the affair.
Okay. Yeah, they notice your approach and they all sort of stop what they're doing. And like people who are carrying armloads of kindling and things like put them down at their feet as if to prepare themselves in case you are hostile.
Is Hodge still in the air or is Hodge with me?
Hodge has been walking with you.
Okay.
He didn't take to the air after your conversation.
Okay, cool. So I can actually speak Orcish because of my history with like the salespeople, like the merchants and stuff that used to travel.
I can also speak Orc.
Yeah, cool.
So welcome to the jungle.
Yeah, I guess Marley would just be saying like, oh, hello, sorry, don't worry about him, he's fine. Hi, we're friendly.
The group sort of closest to you, there are five of them, three of which are female in appearance at least, yeah, and two are male in a more masculine in appearance at least. And yeah, as you approach they still look quite hesitant, and like one of them reaches for like a spear on his back, and another one she's like going for a dagger on her hip.
And I'm like, oh, if you want to hold them, if it makes you feel better, that's fine. I'm not drawing anything.
I can thunderwave you into oblivion. I don't care what you do.
Yeah, but like Marley's very hands in the air, like trying to be as least threatening as possible. She's like, this little camp is quite charming, isn't it? We actually have money and you know, would like to potentially do trade.
You're saying all this in Orcish?
In Orcish, yeah.
Yeah, they all look amongst themselves, these five that have presented themselves to the front. And then turn back and one of them steps forward and says to you, welcome to Freeworth. We don't often have travellers of your kind. And then sort of gestures to Hodge and Arcus, the two obvious outliers in this scenario.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. Marley bows like a little sort of half bow, like not a full court bow, and just sort of says, ah, yes, well, I am Marley Craff. And if your family has been here for a while, you may remember Craft Cider was located not far from here once upon a time.
A murmur amongst those five and the crowd behind them does start to go, Craff, yes, well, the Craff family, yes, Craff. Yeah, farm, and you hear things like farm destroyed, many trades.
You see like Marley's like face kind of like screw up a little bit at like get destroyed. Like she tried not to let that affect her, but she was like, ooh, ow.
Yeah. Fucked a hog is in the bank.
Your brother, you hear the name Wilton.
Bestiality, old Mr. Craft is racist. Yeah, no.
It wanted it in butt. what is Arcus feeling about this? Because you don't speak Orcish, I assume.
No, I don't. I mean, like I said, I want to find someone to hug.
Okay. So, I mean, yeah, you could just do that without language.
Sure.
So you walk up to a group. Or do you walk up to this initial group who's sort of at the forefront, or the crowd behind them?
Yeah, I go up to like the biggest person in the group.
Okay. One of the female ones is like at least half a foot taller than the rest. She beefy boy, and you approach her and she sees and looks questioningly at her companions for just the briefest of seconds as you approach.
And I like hold out my arms in a sort of like come on.
I'm there saying, oh, it likes hugs. Like, and if I need to, I'll roll persuasion to help, you know, because I'm like, oh, it's fine. It likes hugs.
Yeah, again, like a shrug, and then it says to you, Harper likes hugs, and then wraps a big hug around Arcus.
See, still convinced that hugging is the best way to play this game.
And I'm like, oh, that's nice. Oh, that's nice. You know, like kind of just like, oh, that's lovely. You know?
Like roll credits. It's the nice happy ending.
Thank you. We've been playing Hugs and Handholds all evening.
No, first I was an outsider and now we're one hugging.
I wait for the hug to finish, obviously, and I'm like, oh, hello, hi, Harper.
It doesn't finish. It goes on for a long time. And then
Arcus doesn't know social cues. I think we've made that quite apparent.
One of the male ones says, Harper does enjoy hugs. She is quite affectionate. Hello, I am Orm Finch. And he throws out a beefy hand for you to shake.
Nice.
This is all
Manfor slaps his equally beefy palm into that hand and introduces himself.
Ah, yes. Hello, traveller. You are clearly a warrior of much might. He eyes up your weapons and shield and things.
Oh, thank you very much. If anybody here would enjoy a cultural fist fight, do let me know.
They look back to Harper, the one still hugging Arcus, and goes, Harper loves to hug, Harper loves to fight.
Lovely. All right.
She's your gal.
Whenever you fancy Harper, I'll be wherever you folks have the beer. And Bamfor starts sort of looking around for some sort of tavern type scenario.
Okay, roll just a perception, I guess.
It's been a long, dusty walk, you know.
Yeah, no, that's understandable.
First thing I do when I get home, big old beer. That is a 14.
You look around and you don't see anything that's obviously like a refreshments tent or anything, but you see a couple of orcs who look sort of, they might be tipsy, they might be drunk, and they are coming from one tent in particular.
Goes in that tent.
Okay, you've now split the party, cool.
And I just call after Bamfor, knowing what he's doing. Be careful, orcish alcohol is... Oh wait, what am I saying? You were drinking snake venom last night.
Spider venom.
Spider venom.
Some if you want some.
I like that that's his last words to you, like calls back spider venom.
Spider venom.
The other orcs who aren't involved in the hug say, so you are the child of the Craft family. We did not know the daughter had survived.
Oh, well, I remain hopeful that all of my family have survived, although I have not found them yet.
They look amongst themselves again and sort of chatter, and one of them steps forward and just nods and he says, "I am Wulfric, pleased to make your acquaintance, young craft lady. I recently journeyed with a small band to Jakbar in the far north of the Freelands. Your family are alive and well, at least as of 2 months ago."
Ah, well, that brings much glad to my heart. Much glad to my heart. Much glad. That's,
your Orcish is rusty.
She's speaking Orcish, yeah.
"I met with your mother and father personally."
And Marley sort of like has to wipe a tear quickly away, you know, as she sort of goes, "That's great. That's fantastic news. And they seem well. And my brothers?"
"Yes, I'm not sure how much you know of your family's lives, but they are all alive and well in Jakbar. Your mother and father have retired and live on a farm with Wilton. He runs a hog farm with his wife Tourmaline."
"It doesn't surprise me," says Molly. "Like,
and her children."
"Do they look half hog?"
"They are not,
not his, how it works.
They are not his children, and you're not here for this conversation."
"Not his either."
Quickly cut away to inside the tent with Banfor. There is a bar, like a very makeshift bar. It's like a plank of wood put over some tree stumps, and there is one orc sitting behind it, and he's got various wooden kegs of things.
Banfor walks up and taps a gold coin on the bar.
He looks wide-eyed, bulgy-eyed at seeing a whole gold coin put down on his bar.
"Not put down, tapped."
And he says in Orcish, give you the special visitor."
I'll take, how much is a keg?"
he looks at your coin and says, "3 more of those."
"We'll give you 2 more of those."
"I'll give you a fight."
"All right."
"Nothing's ever easy with you." Okay, cut back to Marley.
Banfor orders 3 beers with his gold.
Okay.
And 4 beers with his gold. "Can I get 4 beers with a gold?"
"Yeah, easy. Easy peasy."
So Banfor trots back out with 4 full pints.
Nice, and just carrying them. Roll a sleight of hand check to carry them.
Well.
16 plus whatever my tang is. 18 total.
Nice. You're like one of those beer fest waitresses you see with holding like 28 steins.
A steinfrau.
Yeah, and you walk through this camp, and I assume you're heading back to your companions.
Marley's introducing Arcus, like, properly. Like, yeah. You know, so she says that Arcus likes to hug, but this is Arcus. Arcus got picked up on the way through when Hodge went away and came back. She's not really sure if she wants to drop Hodge died and then returned from the dead. People already freaked out enough about Hodge without knowing that he's an undead dog.
And Arcus is just like parroting, like, "This is Arcus. Arcus likes hugs."
Yeah.
In what language, Arcus?
Oh, common.
Okay.
Well, if you're parroting, it could be an Orcish.
Oh.
Yeah, you just don't know what you're saying.
I just don't know what I'm saying. I just naturally, I'm like, "This is Arcus. Arcus likes hugs."
One of the ones that hasn't spoken yet, one of the women, she slaps her hand down on your shoulder in a very like matey, chummy sort of way, Arcus, and then just blathers her life story to you in Orcish. She's just like, hello, my name's Emmy, and I'm the best hunter in all these parts, and everyone comes to me when they want something hunted. You want meat, you get Emmy to go find it. You want fowl, you get Emmy to go find it. Even fishing, all these other orcs, and you don't understand a word of it.
No, I don't, but I nod along politely and like I'm really engaged in just the noises that are coming out of her mouth.
Yeah,
and I'm like, wow. Like universal sort of noises, like, oh.
Marley looks over, but Arcus seems to be doing really well, so just shrugs, leaves it's the best, you know, like
Arcus has ever socialized with anyone.
And she says, Wolfric it was, right?
One of them's like, yes, that is I.
You'd think I would be here because of my family, but actually I'm not. We have a bit of a mission ahead of us and we have need to get across the water.
Ooh, what's more important than reconnecting with your family, I must ask, young Craff?
Well, I mean, have you heard of what happened to Arkvale?
We try not to trouble ourselves with matters on the other side of the Western Ranges. Well, to us, the Eastern Rangers, ha 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 ha, and they share like a laugh. Like, they call it differently from everyone else because they're on the other side of it.
mistakenly said the other thing first.
Marley sort of briefly kind of informs them as to what's happened in terms of Arkvale falling apart and their leader having left them, and it's sort of, they've gone a bit rogue all over the place and stuff. You know, because she's assuming Arkvale's still kind of sort of operating in places, but now independently of, you know, the Empress. So,
yeah.
Sort of tells them a bit about that and then sort of mentions that across the water, she's needed to help fix the damage she did. You know, so she sort of explains she was instrumental in what happened and she has a duty of care now to make sure it's fixed.
Yeah, so Wolfric looks across the water as you say that and says, there is not much across there, but a few towns and some dead forests. What is there that could possibly help anyone on the other side of the ranges?
She sort of says, do you know much about the Surge?
They all look amongst themselves and says, I don't know what that is.
Okay, and she might find that a bit hard to explain. Would they know if I said Anfer and Gilliff, like the old gods?
I will roll a religion check for them if you do mention it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a 19. Yeah, they are aware that there was at some point in recent or semi-recent history a religion that had those as its gods. That, you know, used those names in its doctrine and its worship, but they don't know much about it specifically.
Yeah, so I use that and I say, well, the old gods are strong in the Wild Continent and I fear that's where I need to go.
Well, it sounds very much like you have important work to be doing, but please, before you venture out onto the water and into the wild, which is guaranteed to be a very treacherous journey, please celebrate with us. You sound like you've been through much, but you have a new family here with us for the time being.
She goes to bow, and then she sort of looks at Arcus and holds her arms open and, like, tries to go for a hug. It's very unusual for Marley, so she's feeling very awkward about it, but... yeah, she goes to do that.
Just to hug Wolfric, the one that was talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
To say thank you.
Yeah, he leans into like an awkward hug, like he's not used to doing that.
Awkward.
Marley's not either. Marley's not either, so it's very like...
Wee, pen police.
This is two people who don't want to hug hugging.
Yeah, Marley's trying it, because Arcus makes it look like fun, you know, but like she's not really sure how it works.
Yeah, this one, it's not that fun for either of you.
Bamfor hands out beers.
To whom?
To Marley, to Arcus, and to main orc boy.
The only orc that hasn't spoken is one of the women whose name is, she introduces herself as Celestia, and she gives you just like friendly pats on the shoulders and things, and then sidles up next to Bamfor as he drinks his beer.
Bamfor looks at her with a cocked eyebrow.
Not the only thing that's cocked, right? What?
Bamfor has actually had his genitals cut off during a torture, so...
Yeah, so it is the only thing that's cocked, right?
Oh, that one.
So jokes on you, JD.
Bamfor shucks his armor off and starts getting a little bit loose and limber. Is this the same... What's happening?
My cat just tried to walk along the side of the bed and then did that thing where a cat falls off the bed that's fucking hysterical because then they have to look around and be like...
Nobody's seen this.
Yeah. It was the best. Sorry. I'm sorry.
I can see it in the mirror. Bamfor, that was probably keen to have a little scrap.
Yeah, so the one that had been hugging a lot is Harper. And she's the one that likes to brawl.
Right. Bamfor sidles up to her with his armor off, shirtless, and just gives her a little punch on the shoulder.
She gives you a smile and says, "We doing this already?
Oi, oi, shall we?"
She gives a big smile. Let the entertainment begin, and then leads the way to what's obviously like a small arena, which is just like a circle of dirt that people gather around in a very practiced motion. Like, this is obviously something they do on the regular.
For fun.
Yeah, Marley takes her bear over and is like, "Oh, this should be good." You know, my mate, he's real good. Like, he's real power. She's like elbowing the other orcs and stuff. He'll take her on, mate. This is going to be good.
you disrobed yourself, Oliver, so your AC is just now 10 plus your dex, I think.
I was assuming we were doing a fist fight.
Yes, but it still would require your AC for the fists to hit.
Bamfor has his armor on. But I don't want to fight with my armor on. That doesn't make sense to have a fist fight.
Take it off in that case, and we will just have...
The armor's off. The armor's off. 10 plus dex.
You know what? Let's not even make it combat. Let's make it skills-based. We will just do athletics. This is all athletics.
Cool.
Let's invent a new mechanic. Athletics versus acrobatics for dodging.
Yeah, so athletics to hit, acrobatics to dodge.
Yep.
Contested.
So we will make it the first to make three solid hits.
Cool.
Is Marley's invented cheerleading from the side, and she's now cheering the Bamfor, which accidentally goes off as a bardic inspiration. She doesn't mean to. She just, that's just bard life. Hashtag bard life.
Arcus starts a chant that's just fuck, fight, fuck, fight, fuck, fight, fuck, fight.
I don't know these words. Fuck, fight, fuck, fight.
Fuck, fight.
Is that fuck with two C's?
Yeah. And fight with two C's too. Where did they go?
Is that in common?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Marley leans over and quickly teaches Arcus what those two words are in Orcish, so that you can also say it in Orcish.
Great. Do you?
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
Nice. So you're just yelling, fuck, fight, fuck, fight. Marley is cheering something, which I will get you to act out, because you are a bard.
shit, okay. Bamfor, he's our man. If he can't do it, then no one can, because he's the best. And she's like trying to do a bee, like in the air with like her legs all curled and stuff and like around her legs. She's like, yay! And she's like out of nowhere is just like throwing ribbons. Like,
if he can't do it, no one can, because he's literally an unstoppable beast and arguably one of the most powerful things in the
world. And she has a line at the end that says, "Watch for the half brick." Da da. It's his finishing move.
So you are shirtless and disrobed, and people hold like hands over their mouths and whisper scandalously about your scarred, like horrifically tortured body.
And it'll be pretty much like bright alabaster white since I haven't had my shirt off in a long fucking time.
Yeah, so there's people muttering all sorts of things like, oh my gods, oh what in Sorgamal's name is, yeah, and shit like that.
Right.
That poor, poor
And Molly's
man.
Like, it's funny you should say Sorgamal, actually. You know, everybody says that he's an orc, but he is not a he and he is not an orc. She's She's pretty cool though.
Ayla has fucking done a number on Mahlia. Just sitting in the crowd, just being a drunk mum.
Did
you know his father? Bastard.
And if I hear anybody talking like shit about Manfor, and I'm like, I'll cut out your tongue where you stand. You don't say shit about my friend.
But did you bring the orange slices?
Oh yeah. Mahlia's starting to cut up apples. Not the never spoils, but just like other apples.
Oh, that actually might be cool. Just the never spoil apples for like half time if you hurt. Don't tell anyone. I've been drinking more as well.
For these dice rolls, Oliver, do you want to add modifiers or just rely on the D20?
I'll take the D.
Okay. So it's,
yeah,
it's,
you will.
It's just 20s for attack and dodge. Okay, so cool. This orc woman, she sheds her armor as well, and so she's standing...
topless.
Topless with just like a small... what's the word...
Loincloth.
Pair of tits.
Loincloth is what I was looking for. I was going to say caveman undies.
Diapers, but not.
Like a fur loincloth. And she like dusts off her legs and knees and like taps her shoulders and taps her chest, gets herself sort of like pumped up a little bit. And who wants to go first?
Banfor made the challenge, so he roars into the attack. Comes in quick but steady, obviously. Judging his opponent as he comes in, and hits her with a quick jab straight cross.
Okay, 20 versus 20.
That one.
Okay, chaos curse time.
I'm gonna laugh so hard if you turn into something. I'm gonna be like that wasn't me.
So that's a 3 for the first and a 6 for the second. So 36.
36. You hear an annoying voice in your head. It might be Marley. and you take 1d8 psychic damage. As well as she rolled a 7 on her dodge, so you like throw yourself at her and you hear this voice in your head, you take damage and she easily just steps right out of your way.
1d8.
And then you hear another annoying voice going, come on, what are you doing?
You're drunk, yeah. Dick.
I just put 20 silver on you!
As you stumble past, Harper is going to try and slam her fists down on your back. She gets a 19.
I get a 14.
Okay, she hits your back and slams you down to the dusty ground.
Banfor rising to a knee, puts a straight overhand right into her gut.
Okay.
Fighting dirty. Oh, it's another net one.
Oh, dude.
God damn it.
She got a 12, so she easily steps back away from your like rising lunge and roll another chaos curse.
Fucking damn it.
We're getting our minds worth.
50.
You see your nearest ally as a foe, and you succeed on an attack against them if they are within range.
That's me.
That's gonna be your call on if they're enraged there, Brad.
This is a small circle. I would say you are on the edge of it, and you can lash out and punch Marley.
Banfor punches Marley in the face.
What is your unarmed strike damage?
My unarmed strike damage. Funny you should ask. 10?
Hang on. Does it hit me? Like, does it hit my AC to damage me?
Yeah, he succeeds. It's part of the curse.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just 4.
Okay, so yeah, you're just like cheering for him, and then this fist comes out of nowhere and just clocks you for 5 damage.
And I'm like, not me, you moron! The other people! And I turn you around, punch you in the ass, like kick you in the ass and send you back into the ring. Like, not to damage you, but just to go, oi, get out of here.
Shove him in.
Yeah.
Okay. Arcus, how do you react to any of this?
I kind of feel like it could be a little bit more extreme, so I want to cast Fog Cloud.
So no one can see.
No one can see anything that's happening.
Yeah.
Describe the mechanics of Fog Cloud.
I create a 20-foot radius sphere of fog centered on a point within range. The sphere spreads around corners and its area is heavily obscured. It lasts for the duration or until a wind of moderate or greater speed disperses it.
Okay, so do you set this on the arena itself?
Yeah.
So people around it aren't affected, but they can't see the fight.
Yeah.
The fight's happening inside a thick cloud.
Well, you can kind of see, like, movement happening within, but they can't see each other, and we can't really see what's happening.
Moody. I like it. This is atmospheric. Yeah. Literally atmospheric. Mm-hmm. Okay, Harper is going... So you've just, like, swung a fist at Harper, missed, and hit Marley in the face. Marley shoves you back into the ring, and as you stumble forward from Marley's shove, Harper's going to try and clothesline you to the ground.
And I, like, yell out, "You missed, so you get missed."
She got a 14.
I got a 4.
Okay, she clotheslines you to the ground. You are back on the earth. This is her home turf. She is, although she's distracted by this thick cloud that's rolled in, she's easily got the upper hand. Now it's your turn.
I can't wait for Harper to hear this.
Bamford does the old kick your legs out, flip yourself back up thing, and comes in with a really nasty left-right hook. Oh, fuck my asshole, it's a 2.
She rolled a 3, so I was like, there's no way you're going to not hit that. But
do you know what there is? A way.
No, you've got your bardic inspiration. Oh, right, but Brian already told you.
I'll let him if he wants to have a victory here.
We did say no mods. And yeah. I already know what it is. Yeah, nah, fuck it, it's a 2.
You flick yourself back up to your feet and swing at her, and she sort of just leans back out of range, and you miss. And she's going to then use that lean back to give herself momentum for a huge hurling right hook forward with a 7.
17!
Nice.
Game on.
Yep, you easily dodge
straight
her.
Back into it.
She telegraphed her trajectory way too much, and you easily just went, nah, and stepped out of the way.
Bamford slips back and comes back in with an overhand right, just aiming for a straight square chin. Going for it. Okay, it's not good. It's a 6.
She got a 5.
Fantastic. So drops her one straight in the jaw. Fantastic.
Nice, which sends her reeling back a few steps, and she spits blood onto the arena floor. And then she growls back at you and goes, "Oh, that was a good one. Lucky shot, though." And then charges in like a full brawler, screaming rage, to tackle you to the ground.
Cool.
11.
4.
She grabs you and pile drives you into the ground, and that's her third. So that's victory for her.
I got a 1, a 1, a 4, a 2, a 6, and a 4.
She is pinning you to the ground, and almost like in a rom-com where two people hate each other and they're fighting, but then they end up face to face and they're like, "I actually quite like you a little bit." And she's sort of like, "You know, I like fighting, but you saw how much I like hugging, right?" She's saying this like into your face.
Bamfor's smiling back up at her beatifically, yeah, like a BT, and just gives her a little tap on the cheek, tapping out.
Okay, yeah, she rolls off, and you're still amidst this thick fog.
Bamfor's just sort of wafts through it, and sort of holds her hand so they don't get lost.
All right.
And then, walking out, raises her hand up, like, "Whee, she won."
Okay, yeah, the orcs all cheer. In confusion, like, what just happened? We don't really know.
Molly's like, "Come on, man, I lost 20 silver over there."
Bamford just shrugs and resumes his ale.
Yeah, you go to reach for where you left your ale, and there's another full glass next to it.
Free ale. Yes.
Yeah. And Marley says, "A song then," and stands up and pulls out her saxophone and starts.
The arena empties.
Yeah, it's only like midday or like just shy of midday at this point. But yeah, she's
well on her way to getting pissed.
Yeah, they're in like full on party mode now. You guys have changed their clocks basically.
Yeah, dog.
Time means nothing to us right now, and neither for them.
We're in a montage, G.
Yeah, Wolfram told me to party and celebrate before I took off, and I decided he was right, and I took him at his word, so...
Yeah, this orc settlement is now your party for the rest of the afternoon slash evening.
Nice.
Tell me what you do and what you want, and...
Molly starts playing music because she's happiest when she can see other people like having a good time toe tapping and dancing and enjoying themselves. So she starts playing music while she's like up on a chair or a bench or something outside, and she's just trying to get the dancing started.
Banfoy has a little bit of a boogie, also hangs out with Harper a bit and go over the finer points of how she fucked him up.
Yep.
And just sort of start learning from each other and having a general chit-chat with the other orcs, RE, fighting and whatnot.
Sweet. Cool. And Arcus?
I would like to dance with the orc that I was listening to previously.
Nice. I like that. Do you try and communicate?
Look, you don't need to use words when you have...
with an ass like this.
When you have the language of dance.
Okay, roll a performance check then.
Great. Oh, fuck. Oh, sorry. Hold on. 9 on performance.
9 on performance. Okay, yeah, you have quite a hard time communicating that you want to dance, but eventually they get it. And they're like, okay, yeah, and they grab you and sort of pull you into the reverie.
Nice. I just like the only two words that I know in Orcish now are fuck and fight.
Yeah. That's really too unique.
So even when I was trying to communicate, it wasn't helpful, I imagine.
And you know how to say I am Arcus, I like to hug?
I think I just said that in common.
Yeah.
And Marley, also roll a performance check to see how pumping you get this party.
Nice. That is a 12 on the dice and an 8 on the sheet. So that's a dirty 20.
Okay. You get at least half this camp shrugging off like, we've got work to do, but who cares? Visitors, yay! And they all drink and people pour in and out of the bar tent and they dance to your music.
And they start playing like the craft cider tune. Like the tune that the wagon used to play when it rolled into town with new supplies.
It's not Mr. Whippy.
Greensleeves plays in the background.
No, it's way chirpier than that. It's whip, 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 whip,
Jurassic Park. do you have any specific things you want to do for the rest of this evening? Because do you want to inquire about boats? Do you want to inquire about what people know about the wilds? Do you want to fact find? Do you want to trade? Or do you just want to party until the next day starts?
So Molly already started asking about boats back in the start, kind of. So probably someone gets word of the fact that she wants to know about boats, and I imagine comes up to her at some point during the party, you know?
Yep, so an elderly orc with a walking stick and a patch over his eye.
Orking stick.
An orking stick. And a patch over his eye. Heads up, this guy's going to be pirate orc. I used to sail almost weekly to the wild, making trades with the settlements over there. Yes, wild. It's named the wild for a good reason. Both the land and the sea are definitely not friend to us land-faring folk on this side.
And Molly's kind of drunk, so she's like, your voice is awesome.
Have you ever sailed before, lass?
No, but it should be pretty easy, like point and shoot, right?
He looks very offended. I didn't spend my life on the sea to have some landlubber tell me it's pretty easy.
Well, I mean, you're not wrong, but like, I've never been out there, so I don't really know.
Right, then you'll probably be needing a guide.
Are you coming with us? Because if you're not, I'm kidnapping you just so that you could do that voice the entire time.
I'm much too old for the sea these days. You'll have to take my son.
Please tell me he also talks just like you.
He's also Irish. I don't know where these Irish orcs are from.
He's a pirate.
Look, you don't know what Irish sounds like.
Oh, it's kind of Irish.
You met my son when you arrived at the camp. Orm Finch.
Oh, right. Yes.
He knows the water. Not quite as well as me, but he can certainly handle the rigging. And other nautical terms.
And other assorted sundry terms.
He's great on the poop deck.
He can make it go left or right, whichever
he knows his aft port or starboard. Stern. Wonderful, great. Can we hire a ship or borrow it? How does one do that?
Yes, well, we don't really have a system in place for outsiders to take the boats. We normally use them just for fishing. But I'm sure we can work something out.
Marley sort of goes, yeah, probably, knowing that she's got, like, crap tons of gold still in the thing. Well, mostly gems now. I think I gave away all of the gold, but, you know.
Yeah. He looks you up and down and sort of like a bit of a creeper sort of look. When he says, I'm sure we can work something out.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, cool. Yeah. She just sort of gets up, like, as if just to put some distance in between her and him. And is like, thank you for your advice, kind sir. And I hope you enjoy the party.
This is just like Pirates of the Caribbean all over again.
I'm sure I will. But you have heard of me.
We've been warned now.
I'm the worst orc pirate you've ever heard of, but you have heard of me. Cool. And Arcus and Banfor, how do you spend your afternoon that becomes evening that becomes night?
Just paddling around, you know. Banfor's found his people very much. He's buying drinks. He ended up getting that keg anyway and just sitting it in the middle of the camp. And just fucking day drinking, you know? Like he's a divorced dad during school holidays and he's got no visitation, you know?
Cool.
Just getting Howard.
Yeah, roll a con save just to see how
I refuse.
How functional you've become.
18 plus 4, so 22.
Yeah, well, you managed to put away almost, like, the whole keg before you even feel effects. Like, you just, you get, like, a slow tipsy coming on, and then over time, it gradually hits you very hard, but it does take an exceedingly long time.
Fantastic. Into it. Haven't put on clothes again, but have just left my things strewn around, trusting to the community.
Okay, cool. And Arcus?
I think I'm just keen to learn more about this place, hang out with my cool orc friend and have a little look around the area.
Do you try and let them know at any point that you don't speak orcish?
No, I don't see much point in that.
just keep saying fucking fight to them.
Yeah.
It's been working so far.
Every now and again. Mostly you can, like, non-verbally communicate with people.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, just give me, and we'll end the episode on this, just a general, just a charisma check, just to see how far you can get with just fucks and fights in your vocabulary.
Okay. 15.
Okay, yeah, you managed to have several what appear to be meaningful conversations. With like lots of members, and all you're doing is nodding, smiling, and occasionally saying either fuck or fight.
People just want you to listen.
And yeah, and lots of hugs. You're getting hugs from every newcomer to your conversations.
This is heaven for Arcus.
So you just hug the night away. Banfor drinks the night away. Marley performs and
has some chats. Like, she will have found Aram again and be chatting and then playing another song and, you know, like that.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, it becomes the dead of night. A lot of them disappear to various tents and things. Banfor goes to sleep wherever the fuck he is, naked.
Face down, courtyard.
How long does your fog last, Arcus? I assume that's
gone. Up to an hour.
Okay, yeah. So that lasts a while.
It says for like or until you like stop it or stop concentrating on it. So I imagine after the end of the fight, it would have dispersed.
Okay. Do you drink or pour alcohol into yourself?
Oh yeah, I'll ale up.
Okay. Yeah. Roll a con save, and this will be the final roll.
18.
Okay, yeah, you take it like a champ. You fill up with booze, and you manage to keep your senses about you.
Which is impressive, because my constitution is plus zero.
Yep, and that's how the night goes, and then we'll pick things up in the next episode, in the morning!
And that's the end of the episode!
Yay, it's back! I missed it. Goodbye.
Banfor lost a fight. That's never happened.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, I did not see that coming.
It was more of a cultural exchange.
Hashtag humbled.
Yeah,
right.
No, that's Harry just what happens when he doesn't have like all of his armor and all of his like sword bonuses and stuff.
Yeah, who I am. Yeah, any mods at all. It's just straight roll-off.
But is there anything that's hotter than a woman that can bench press you? Like, you know?
Well, to be honest, like, what is the only people Banfor has been interested in have been, like River.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
They like fighting. They like fucking. They like drinking, you know? They live a simple life outside of most of society's norms. I'm into it.
Big mood. Yeah.
Big mood. All right. Goodbye.
Right. Goodbye forever.
Thank you, friends.
Goodbye forever.
Orcs. Orcs. So many orcs. An old pirate? Banfor lost a fight? Arcus got so many hugs. Oh man, what a wild ride that was. I wonder what will happen in the morning. Will the Squadeth find a ship capable of taking them across the wild sea? Will Banfor find his clothes? Find out next week, I guess. A what up big thank you, a Rooney, to our awesome Patreon supporters, without whom we couldn't do this. We couldn't make this a thing. This would not be a thing were it not for the following people. Alex White Robinson, Person Who Wants to Stay Anonymous, Robert Baldino from Not Quite Heroes, Irene Cucci, Laura Christine Goodwin and James Blyseth from Wheel or Woe, Sijay Hodgkins, Laura Douglas, Mel Ziegler, Roger Afamata, Sam Malcolm from Table Tales, Kydron Faust, Lauren Flake, Kai Dealer, Rihanna Kavalsik, Kevin Swift from The Dice Cult, Ben Edwards, Victoria and Gavin Porter, Daniel Nichols from the Happy Go Lucky Podcast, and KP! As always, don't forget to hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Those are all at Fate of Ison. Or email fateofison@gmail.com. Or head to the Necropodicon Discord server to chat with us in real time, play some fun games, win some fun games, and just have a good time. There is a link to that either at necropodicon.com or on our website, fateofison.com, as well as cast profiles, fan art, and links to the wiki, so you can school up on some sweet, sweet Ison lore. Alrighty, see you next time, everybody. Smooches!
This podcast is part of the Necropodicon Network.
Hey.
Huh?
You.
Me?
Yeah, you. Are you tired of watching the same multi-billion-dollar films over and over again?
I sure am.
What if I were to tell you that there are movies out there that you have never seen before but are also entertaining?
I would say that I wouldn't believe you because you're all big old fibber.
Don't just sit there with your thumb up your butt. Listen to Bad Rad Movies Podcast.
Warning, many of these films may not actually be entertaining. In fact, it is all subjective. If you feel like these subjective films are not to your liking, well, then something else, because we will not be responsible for anything that might happen to you after you have watched these films.
Wow, I better go listen to the podcast right now.
That sounds just like me. Wow.